Proverbs 16, verse 23-28. Proverbs 16, verse 23. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. He that laboureth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. Amen. Thus far we read the word of God. And our theme is speaking heartily and well. Speaking heartily and well. Our acceptance before God rests on the merits of Jesus Christ. But the forgiven man is a changed man, and it shows in the way he speaks. First of all, let us consider heart knowledge and good words. Heart knowledge and good words. Verse 23, the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. It describes the wise man once again. And the only wise man in the world is the believer in our Lord Jesus Christ. And only the believer is truly wise. At various stages in his Christian life, he meets the description more and more of the wise man. The unbeliever is a fool. He has a wise heart. That is, he not only has a knowledge of what the Word of God teaches, but he has the enlightenment to see its glory and beauty. And therefore, he is a true worshipper of the God who gave it. So the learning that he adds to his lips is profitable and edifying to others. Whereas the unregenerate learner of propositions peddles out his learning not to build up others, but to make a name for himself and to aggrandize himself. When we talk of heart knowledge, we are not giving way to a Christianity which is made up simply of feeling. But we mean by heart knowledge that by the Spirit we not only are aware of what the truth is, but we love the truth. And believers in our Lord Jesus do love the truth. The devil has a knowledge of the truth. He twists it as necessary, even when tempting the Lord Jesus himself. But he has no love of the truth. And the unregenerate learner of biblical truth is, the truth is simply a means to an end, to proclaim his greatness, not the Lord's. We need hearts like the psalmist. So we sang there in Psalm 45. His heart was inditing or bubbling up with good matter to speak the things concerning the king. And we should have not only an awareness of what the truth is, but an awareness of its glory and its beauty, as reflecting the glory and beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is not a mere ability to declare what is true, but a love of the truth and a delight in it, as ascribing the glory to God which we love. And that's true of every aspect of biblical truth, but it's true of the doctrine of salvation, that those who love God's salvation, not because they think they're clever enough to be able to articulate it, but because they love the glory of God displayed in the truth. And God's attributes are displayed in the way that he saves sinners, his mercy and truth, his righteousness and his peace. These are displayed in the saving work of God in redemption accomplished by Christ Jesus and applied by the Spirit. It is when a man's heart is right that he addeth learning to his lips with profit to himself and to others. But if the heart isn't right, all the addition of learning will only be abused in the interests of self-aggrandizement. Secondly, words can be enjoyable and healthy. Words can be enjoyable and healthy. Verse 24. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. So it's saying here that pleasant words are both sweet to taste and healthy. Most of us find that the things that we like to taste are not healthy, and the things that are healthy are not so pleasant to taste. But pleasant words are sweet to the taste, they're like a honeycomb, and they're health to the bones. Now then, what about your words? Will a holy listener enjoy your words? Will a holy listener enjoy your words? God is holy and he hears all our words, but would a sanctified believer, mature in the faith, would he enjoy your words? Would they benefit from them? Would they be sweet like the honeycomb and health to their bones? We can all produce words that ungodly people will like. But that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about what the godly, what sanctified people enjoy and benefit from. We can produce words that the malicious gossip will enjoy. But would a mature Christian enjoy them as the honeycomb and do them good, giving health to their bones? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Have you done anyone any good lately by your words? Real good. At least potentially, if they receive your words. Or have your words been either malicious, untrue, discouraging in the way of faith and obedience, harmful? Are our lips quick to seek one another's good and minister to edify? Then thirdly, a repeat for a reason. A repeat for a reason. Verse 25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now this is exactly the same as chapter 14 and verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Things repeated in Scripture are repeated for a reason. God's word is never irrational, never random. There's a reason. There's a reason why this verse is here. Now, it's certainly true we need repeated warning. Peter says he would stir them up and put them in remembrance, though they be established in the present truth. Or Philippians chapter 3 and verse 1, the apostle says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. There is safety in repeated warning and admonition. The problem is not simply understanding, the problem is the love of sin. And because men by nature love sin, and even the believer has still indwelling sin within him, but by nature we love sin, and we can distort things so that the desired path is made out to be the wise path. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Why does it seem right if it's disastrous? Well, because of the love of sin. Because men who are in love with sin, they have such a strong desire to follow a certain course of action that they convince themselves that it's the right way. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. That's a problem for us, that we need the grace of God from beginning to end to know what is truly right in any given situation. But it may be also that it is the context which makes necessary the repeat and the warning. The context is mainly, not entirely, but mainly the use of the tongue. And there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. James 1:26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. So here's a man who doesn't control his tongue, and he thinks he's all right because he's religious. Well, that man, his way seems right in his own eyes, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Or in chapter 3, verse 2, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Do you think at all about what you say? We're living in days when people can say almost anything and be commended for their supposed honesty, as if blattering out the vanities of their hearts is honesty. Whereas they ought to be ashamed that ever it was in their hearts in the first place. But do you think about whether your words honour the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you think about that? Whether your speech honors Christ. How is he then your Lord? The Lord Jesus taught that we are to control our speech. Ye call me Lord, and such I am, but why do ye do not the things that I say? And if Christ is not your Lord, how is he your Saviour? The Bible knows nothing of a doctrine of Christ as Saviour but not Lord. Now, our acknowledgement of the Lordship of Christ is imperfect in this world, always. Always will be in this world. But if his Lordship over us has no effect on our speech, then are we deceiving ourselves? Psalm 12 and verse 4. Psalm 12, verse 4. Verse 3, the Lord shall cut off all flattering lips, and the tongue that speaketh proud things, who have said, with our tongue will we prevail. Our lips are our own, who is Lord over us. You see, never thinking about our speech shows that we're saying, our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? We're refusing. We won't have Christ to reign over us. So then, we must make sure, even from our speech, that we're not on a way that seems right. That our faith is in Christ, and we bow the knee to him. And that we are seeking holiness of speech. So does your way of gospel indifference end well? The command is repent. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. He commands all men, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you hear these things, and well, you say, yes, that's all very well, but you take no notice. Does it end well to take no notice of the truth of God? There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Fourthly, the work and eat relationship is of God. The work and eat relationship is of God. Verse 26, it moves to another use of the mouth before turning back to speech. Verse 26. He that laboureth, laboureth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him. The simple meaning is this: we know we have to work in order to eat. If a man can work and will not work, he denies Christ. A man who could work and won't work and won't support his own family has denied the faith. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. In Thessalonica, in the church, there were views concerning the second coming of Christ, as if it was about to happen, that caused men to give up working. But the apostle is quite emphatic. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. So the law is of God that our need for sustenance tells us we should work. Not that the believer only works out of necessity, but because God has commanded labour, and the absence of it exposes to temptation. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 again, from verse 11, the next verse. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. The fact that it might be possible to play the system today and to get away with eating without working is to be abhorrent to the believer. God could provide without work, but he has appointed labour, even in a fallen world and in the sweat of our face, the sweat of our brow, and he has appointed this order in this world. Fifthly, the tongue set on fire of hell. The tongue set on fire of hell. 27 and 28. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and his lips there is as a burning fire. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. Here's a man who's very industrious, but he's industrious in a bad thing. He's industrious digging up evil. He loves to find a story of the evil of others. He exerts himself not to follow Christ, but to dig up evil. And sometimes he rages. He's like a burning fire. He soweth strife. Sometimes he's a whisperer. He just puts the odd word in to sow discord. Doesn't need to say much, just sows a thought, a suspicion. The imagination of the other person will do the rest. All he's got to do is push and start the ball rolling. And he separated chief friends. Such a man needn't pretend to be a Christian. Well, what does this tell us overall? There are biblical standards of speech. Christians are seeking after them. Unconverted men are not. But we all fall short. What are we going to do with all the words that we have spoken since first we learned to talk? Thousands of words, perhaps millions of words. What are we going to do about them? You see, they're not all harmless words, are they? They're not all fair words, are they? They're certainly not all edifying words. But many of them aren't even neutral words. They're sinful words, aren't they? We sin with our tongues. Even if there were nothing else, even if we did nothing, even if we didn't think except as we speak, our tongues would condemn us. And God hears. He's heard every word. Every word we've ever uttered, God has heard. He that formed the ear, shall he not hear? Our only hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Only he can take away any sins, even the sin of the tongue. He saves great sinners. He saves heart sinners. The reason we sin with our tongues is because of what's in our hearts. We don't say things for nothing. It's because of what's inside that it comes out. Corrupt communications. But Christ can save from all kinds of sin, including the sins of the tongue. He bore the sin of many. He bore even the guilt of the verbal sins of his people. And how thankful we should be for that. Because our sins are a heavy burden, too heavy for us, even just the sins of our tongues. So we can thank God that there is a Saviour and that he saves from verbal sin. He bore the just wrath of God, as we saw this morning, upon all kinds of sin on behalf of his people, and we can trust him. But he alone can strengthen us for the future. How are we going to improve our speech? Well, it's by communion with Christ, so that our hearts are full of good matter. You see, the reason we sin so much with our tongues is because there's not enough good stuff in the heart. That's why it's half empty of good matter. And so we sin. Our hearts need to be full of good matter, of the glory of Christ as revealed in the Scriptures. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. The Saviour who purchased the blessing of justification for his people purchased the blessing of sanctification also. And it's through his grace and his grace alone that our godliness in general will increase and our speech will become more honouring to him. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we bless thee for all thy goodness. We thank thee that thy word is very pure. Therefore thy servant loveth it. But O God, we acknowledge that thou hast shown us hard things concerning ourselves, concerning our sin. But we thank thee, O God, that all thy ways are right ways, and all thy words are good words, sweeter than honey to our mouth. We pray that we might receive it with meekness, and that we might be glad to know the truth about ourselves, and the truth about thyself, and thy greatness and glory, and thy delighting in mercy in our Lord Jesus Christ. So look upon us for his sake, and bless thy truth to our hearts, for Christ's sake. Amen.